That's what we'll do.
Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, this is Lean Keys Real Talk, back with another episode, probably our biggest show of the year. Yeah, this is probably our biggest show of the year, to be honest. UFC 280 is the biggest card of the year, in our opinion. I mean, I guess that could be debated, what the biggest card. I'm not willing to really debate it. I think that's the biggest. I believe Lee would agree this is the biggest. But if you want to say there's been a bigger card, then feel free to try that. But anyways, UFC 280 is this Saturday, biggest card of the year, pretty much our biggest show of the year. Lee, what's going on, bro? How you doing? How you living?
Oh, man, I'm good, man. Actually, I'm super excited that this card is coming on early this weekend, so I ain't got to stay up late because I'm still adjusting to this East Coast late start time. So I'm glad this one is early, but I think this card is going to be a banger. Man, it's got so many good fighters on this card, man. But, yeah, I'm excited about Saturday. I might even have
so
fight
if you...
party. I might have my first fight party in North Carolina Saturday, man.
So if you were still living in Denver, what time – so the prelims, I think, are at 11 a.m. or 12 noon on the East Coast.
Uh-huh.
And then the main card, I want to say, is like 2 o'clock maybe. So what time
uh-huh.
– would the fights be going down if you were in Denver? Like, how much? I know it's 2 hours, but like, what time would it be? Like 9 a.m.
Yeah, so,
for the prelims?
Yeah, like the prelims start 9 in the morning.
Dang.
And the main card would start at noon.
Oh man, yeah, that was so. Would that have been? So would that feel? Damn, that's pretty early, dog. Oh my goodness. So
yeah,
would that have been even
early,
better?
But...
Or you like?
It's early, but it's just that you have fighting because, like, here, like, staying up, like, last week I tried to stay up and watch the Deontay Wilder fight. Man, that joint didn't come on at, like, 11:30, like, 11:30. I was like, man, this sucks. So, basically, here on the East Coast, basically your whole night is done after the fight, whereas back in Denver, you can watch the fight. You can still hang out at a bar, go to a club or whatever. So you still got your night. Where, you know, on the East Coast, you know, you just basically watch the fight and that's it for you.
Yeah, that is one thing that kind of sucks is that the night is, like, the night is pretty much over after you watch the UFC card out here. I mean, by the time the pay-per-views end, and unless you're getting like a 8 p.m. like you know fight night or like Apex card that's you know 8 p.m. like those ones you know the main cards end in like 10:30 and like you could still go make moves but like when these main cards end you know when it's not in Abu Dhabi and you have like Vegas time New York time you know you're pretty much ending that card like 1 a.m. you know sometimes one it depends you know but at least midnight. And the night's pretty much tapped. It's usually like 1 a.m., quarter past 1 when the because I usually, I mean, the fights end and then, you know, it's already really late and then I'm probably just chilling watching the post-fight, you know, they're talking about the fights after. I usually stay and watch that, show the rankings and stuff. But either way, even without that, the fights end at about 1 o'clock easy. So, yeah, it's a nice cap at that point.
See, now, in the old days, when the clubs was closed 4 in the morning, you know, you still got a night after the UFC fight. You know, you have your little fight party, go to the bar or whatever, and then after that, you make moves. Everything closed 4 o'clock, but everything don't close 4 o'clock no more. Basically, I think everything closed 2 o'clock now. So, hey, you just got to watch the fight. Hope you had a good time. If you're at home, have a better time. But if you're out and about, you know, man, you just got to, you know, take care of yourself and be responsible. But, yeah, man, I'm glad that's happening in the afternoon. I'm going to get up, do my little yard work, take a shower, probably throw something on the grill, and then I'm getting it in for 280. I'm going to have some friends over. Yeah, some rock boys in the house.
Let me see. I'm going about it the same way as well. I'm, I'm already in weekend mode pretty much. Like Wednesday is typically, I want to say I've said it on so many times, like Wednesday is pretty much like the peak of my week. Like that's the peak of my busyness in the week is Wednesdays. You know, Monday, Tuesday is busy, and then Wednesday is the busiest. And then it's like Thursday falls off a cliff. So I'm kind of like getting into weekend mode, and then Friday is like really nothing. I'm probably just going. So that's pretty much where I'm at now. So, and we get the press conference tomorrow. So I'm like, damn, I'm just going to go to work, throw on the press conference like right when I get out of work. That shit's going to be perfect to come home to my apartment. And then Friday, you know, you're going to have the weigh-ins. Hopefully everybody makes weight. And I'm going to have a good night on Friday knowing that, you know, knowing that I'm waking up, pretty much eating breakfast, having some coffee, and getting over to my boy's crib to start watching the prelims. That's pretty much how we're going. Like, I'm going to have absolutely nothing to do. Saturday, I'm literally getting up, eating some breakfast, having some coffee, and I might even just do that on the go. I might even just be picking something up and just going to my boy's crib and just getting those prelims going, you know? I might even be watching the other prelims. Who knows?
Yeah, man. I mean, it's hey, man. This is just one of them cards, man. And I'm definitely gonna be live tweeting from our account during the fights for sure. It's definitely the main card. I don't know about the prelims. I still might be cooking at the time, but I'll definitely be live tweeting during the main card from our account.
Yeah. I'm going to say this. I try to get one in here and there, but I definitely, at least at this point in time, I don't have the juice that a lot of these other guys have. I mean, these guys are like, you know, I believe like they're probably high level, you know, paid journalists that they're getting, you know, that's like their job. These guys are tweeting every second. Some of these accounts, they're not verified, but like they're, you know, the same pages you see, you know, pretty much tweeting play-by-play of every event. Like, I don't got the juice for that because I want to be locked in watching too. So that you know, I never want to take away from the experience because I like to really lock in when I watch my fights. But I'm going to definitely try to throw a tweet in here and there, you know what I mean? Maybe in between rounds or, you know, in between a fight or something like that or during a, you know, some kind of break, you know what I mean? That's probably how I try to go. We'll probably both get a little bit of our insight in there, and it's going to be good, bro. I'm definitely going to have some drinks going. It's going to be early in the day, but I'm going to have some drinks going 1,000%. I'm not sure what I'm drinking yet, but I'm drinking something because I'm worried, bro. I'm worried. I'm very excited. My excitement is at least at an 8 out of 10 already. And it's Wednesday. I'm already at an 8 out of 10 excited. My voice is getting louder just talking about this. I'm very excited. But I'm worried at the same time because our boy Oliveira, I don't know, man. He's making me nervous. So the way that his mindset right now, I feel like he's not really locked in, man. I don't know. It's like he's thinking about other fights and he's talking about January and title defenses. And it's like, we've said it on our show many times, man. We've been saying this for years that when you have a fight, you should be fully focused on the man in front of you. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And what happens to, you know, a lot of guys, and this is in many cases, people that you see in the build up to fights talking about the next fight, many times end up losing, and they end up losing badly. Like that is usually what happens. So. And I definitely, you know, people would say, what do you attribute that to? I would definitely attribute that to their mind is not fully on the fight. Their mind is on a different fight. Their mind's on a different matchup. Their mind's on, you know, another title. They want to move divisions or whatever, win another belt. Your mind is not, you're not fully tapped in. And then what happens is, you know, I believe that in many of these times, you're fighting a guy that is fully locked in on you. You know, you're fighting a guy that hasn't spoken another name besides you. So who do you think, you know, could get the better of who in a situation like that? You know what I mean? A guy that is fully focused on you and taking what you have, you know what I mean, and taking your legacy. You're focused on everybody else but him. And that's kind of the way Oliveira is kind of seeming to me right now. He's making me nervous, bro. He's making me very nervous.
Yeah, man. You know, after you tweeted that, I tweeted back at you. I was like, Charles needs to ask himself, what about if he loses? Then what? None of that stuff, none of what you put out happens if you lose. So why even put that out there, you know, that you plan on doing this, doing that, doing this? Because if you don't win, none of that is going to come to fruition. First of all, you got to win Friday on the scale, because the last time you on the scale had a fight, you lost. So you got to win that fight first. And then you get in there and you fight one of the tougher guys, probably one of your tougher opponents to date. But on with you, you can't put the cart in front of the horse. Because once you start doing that, your focus isn't where it's supposed to be at. Your focus is more long-term than short-term. And you need to be focused for five rounds on Saturday night going for the lightweight, belt. So, hey, man, I just think Charles is kind of caught up into his new earned superstardom. And I just think he's just caught up into that right now. But, hey, I want to see how he conducts himself at the ceremonial weigh-ins. If he come out there doing something totally out of character, then I'll be worried. But until I see that, hey, I think he focused. But you got two fights you got to win, Charles. You got to win the fight Friday on the scale, and then you got to win the fight against your opponent on Saturday. So all that stuff he was saying sounded good. Makes no sense to me to go down to, what was that, featherweight to, you know, try to take that belt when you could barely make the current weight you in. So that just didn't make no sense to me. So, but, hey, man, all these guys get caught up in the next thing, the next thing. I ain't going to say just fighters. People get caught up. Everyday people get caught up in the next thing, the next thing. Nah, live in the moment, and the next thing will come in time. Then you enjoy it. But live in the moment, man. Just live in the moment and enjoy it.
Yeah, and that's a dope analogy you just made. That's a very good analogy of how that's really all of us. You know, that's the most of us that, you know, we're always, every time, like, you think you're going to get gratification or something, and then you do it, and then you're already thinking about, okay, now I got to do this. It's like, all right, I bought the car that I always wanted. Okay, I got the car. Now I need the house. Now I got to get the house. And then you get the house, you know what I mean? And then it's another thing, you know what I mean? Then you get that, and there's another. Now it's like, okay, now I want the vacation home. You know what I mean? You get the vacation home. Now it's like, okay, now we need a boat. You know what I mean? So it's like you just get like that. That's not you know, scenario for all of us, but it's just an example of always needing the next thing. It's like, all right, you want that promotion, get the promotion. Now you're automatically, now instead of just embracing your new role and getting better at that and learning that and getting well-rounded, now you're thinking about, you're looking at the next promotion, you're looking at the next guys. They're like, oh, I just got this, but now that guy's the president. Now I need to try to, you know what I mean, get how long will it take me to get to that? It's like, so it's like,
yeah.
That takes away the satisfaction of the moment, because whenever.
Yeah, you just got to live in the moment, man. Live in the moment and enjoy your current successes. If you don't enjoy your current successes, then your future successes will never happen. So celebrate yourself and live in the moment, man. It's I know it's hard to do because, you know, we always on to the next, on to the next, on to the next. You know, but that's just the way we live, man. But just, you got a baby step sometimes. Like you said, you buy a car. The next thing you do, you buy a house. You haven't even enjoyed your car yet. So you get the house. Then next thing you do, you get a boat. You haven't even enjoyed your house yet. It's like, yo, enjoy, you know, enjoy it as you go. Enjoy it as you go, man. But, yeah, man, let's start talking about these fights, man.
And so, yeah, 100%. So, yeah, we'll leave it at that. I'll save my quote on that topic from Lil Wayne. We'll save that for next week. 100%. Shout out Lil Wayne. Anyways.
You can do it at the end of the show.
All right, I'll do it.
That's your last word.
Because that quote is exactly on what we were just saying. And Wayne Benn said this, you know, that was like over a decade ago. But anyways, yeah, shout out to Wayne. We'll get to that. So what I want to get to is, and we'll get more into Oliveira. We're going to have the predictions coming up here soon. But the thing that I want to ask you, because I got the full card in front of me right now, and this is, you know, this is our tradition. This is how we go. So I want to ask you this. We've been doing this. We're going to ask you this. If you had to pick one fighter that on this card that, you know, is on your radar or that wasn't on your radar but now they are, who is your fighter that you are watching on this card that you're like, damn, I really got to see his fight?
Man, this Beneil Dariush and Gamrot fight is the fight that I'm going to have my eye on, because I think this fight lets us know if Gamrot is really, really title contender, or if he was just on a hot streak. I mean, Beneil isn't a big striker, but Beneil has an all-around game. And when you fighting an all-around fighter, basically you have to be able to defend against so many things in the octagon. And sometimes that makes you think. And when you're thinking, you're not fighting. So this Gamrot Beneil Dariush fight, man, I want to see how Gamrot fights this fight, man. I think it's I think it's good matchmaking. And 21-1. Dariush is 21-4. I think Dariush was basically in line for a title fight if he win. So, hey, this is the fight I want to see, man. This is the one fighter that I'm going to have my eye on Saturday is Gamrot going against Dariush. What about you, bro?
Yeah, I think that's a great pick. I was actually – I made it a point knowing that this was coming up. I think about 2 weeks ago, I made it a point because I hadn't seen any – I had never seen Gamrot fight before. I had never seen any footage on him. So I made it a point. And people were saying his fight with Armin Saryukin was, you know, one of the best fights they've seen in a while, if not, you know, one of the best lightweight fights ever. And I made it a point to watch that back on ESPN Plus about 2 weeks ago. Gamrot is a beast, man. He is a total beast. Like, I'm a big fan of his after that fight. I was very... Both of those dudes are studs, man. Armin Saryukin's a stud. Gamrot's a stud. They're both beasts, you know. But Gamrot, though, like, he's tough, man. I do think this is one of those fights, man. This is like a title contention fight, you know, for Gamrot. He could really jump all the way up, you know, into the top five with a win here and be right there with, you know, the Gaethjes and Poiriers and all these guys, you know, that have been fighting each other, scrambling for the belt. So, and Gamrot is well-rounded, man. He's got, like, each piece of the game. It's scary, bro. This dude, if you've seen him fight before, you know it. If you haven't seen him fight before, I think you're in for a treat, because this dude is an absolute savage. And that's all I can really say about him. So I'm going to tell you this. The fighters that – I'm going to pick two guys, because – really, if you want to ask me my fight that I have my eye on, it's that whole main card. And by the way, I don't even look at that True Kagan and Fiorit fight. I don't even consider that the main card. I know they have that, I think, as the first fight in the main card, but I think that was a mistake. You should not have that. It should be Bilal Muhammad and Sean Brady should be probably the first fight on the main card. And then you go into Gamrot and Dariush after that, and then you go, you know, Jan and so forth. But that was a mistake. But either way, my two fights that I have my eye on, or my two fighters that I have my eye on, is every fight in the main card is my fight to watch, right? But the two fighters that are kind of more low key that I really haven't seen footage of at all that I really am intrigued by. One is one of the first fights on the card is this guy Muhammad Makhachev. Muhammad Makhachev, I want to say maybe 6-0. I think 6-0. He's 8-0. All right, so Muhammad Makhachev, I almost definitely have seen a lot of him on Twitter. I want to say I might even have him muted on Twitter because I got a little annoyed. He calling out like Henry Cejudo, and he was like, you know, 1-0 in the UFC, and he's like, I'm gonna, you know, smash Henry Cejudo, and I'm like, oh my god, you know, I never like when guys go, like, try to go right to the top, you know, and I don't really like that. You gotta earn your stripes, bro. But that's the reason. That's the reason why he's one of the guys I have my eyes on, because I want to see. Like, we need to see the work, you know what I'm saying? So he's a guy, you know, he's a minus 645 favorite. So let's see what he's about. So he's one guy. And then the other one's Sean Brady. Sean Brady, I want to say, is 15-0. And I don't know that he's really in that 15-0. To my knowledge, he doesn't have any, like, notable wins. I don't know who that 50. So we don't really know how legit that 15-0 is. Who has he really fought? That's kind of my impression of that guy. But that's another reason why I have my eye on him, is because I'm intrigued of, okay, he's undefeated, you know, for some reason. And they say, you know, he's a high-level wrestler. Let's see what's going on with him. He's fighting another very good wrestler, Bilal Muhammad, who I've been watching, you know, for 4 or 5 years at least. And I've been a fan of him since he was unranked. So let's just see what Sean Brady's about. Undefeated, Makhachev undefeated. Let's see what's going on. Let's see, you know, if Sean Brady is top level at welterweight, you know, if he can get, you know, his first big win, you know, in his undefeated record, and see if, you know, Muhammad Makhachev, you know, can put in the work and show us, you know, some more wins. Yeah, those
are my
Sean two
Brady. Well, Sean Brady has beaten Court McGee and Michael Chiesa, so, and he beat both of them by unanimous decisions. So he had fought. I used to like Court McGee. I loved his style, but I knew once Court McGee is one of those guys that if he can't take you down, you're gonna beat him up, man. And basically that's how to play it out. But, yeah, he just beat Michael Chiesa on November 20th of 2021. So, you know, that was almost a year ago. So he hasn't fought since November 20th of 2021. Oh, man, it's almost a year. So, okay. But, yeah, man, I like that pick. You know, and once again, I agree with you with the fight placement. I probably would have had Caitlin Chookagan and the Fiore one lady as a prelim co-main event. I would have moved Bilal Muhammad and Sean Brady up to the main card. And I probably would have had Uzdemir and Krylov as the prelim main event. So I don't know why the UFC feels that they have to have a female fight on the main card, it seems like. I want to say on every main card now, they have a female fight. I have nothing against the ladies, nothing at all. I'm a proud supporter of female fights. Angela Hill is definitely one of my favorite fighters. But I just feel sometimes, I know you want to push the women's divisions, but sometimes you have to be smart about your fight placement. Because me, if this Bilal Muhammad versus Sean Brady fight is a banger, and then the Caitlin Chookagan and Manon Fiore fight is dull, you go from being super up to all of, then you down. So now you got to build yourself back up for the Darius fight. So it's like I would just rather be up the whole time than having to come down and then build myself back up. But maybe Chookagan and Fiore might be a good fight. But we shall see. But, yeah, man, I like that. I like the two fighters that you said. I don't know this Muhammad Makhachev. But, yeah, man, I definitely want to see this Bilal Muhammad and Sean Brady fight.
Yeah, I think that's they're all big, man. The fact and for the card placement, the fact that they didn't make that five, you know, that starting five, you know, insane main card, you know, easily to me the best main card that this year has seen by far, by miles. You know, that's an insane top five fights right there. That is absolutely insane. And the fact that they didn't capitalize and just lay that out as the full main card, and they like to switch. And Chuuk Kagan, hasn't she fought? I'm pretty sure she fought for the belt and got smashed. Is that not true?
I'm looking it up right now. I want to say
sure
she lost
did.
Bad.
Yeah,
I
want to
say
she
lost bad.
And then I'm pretty sure she fought Jessica Andrade and got knocked out again.
Yeah, she fought Jessica Andrade, got knocked out. She got waxed by Valentina Shevchenko, KO, in the third round. And then she beat Shevchenko's sister. And then she turned around and got knocked out by Andrade. But look at the people she done beat, though, since Andrade. Calville, Arujo, Jennifer Maya, and Amanda Ribas. So she has fought her way back up. So we shall see. But, yeah, man, I mean, we support the women MMA, but sometimes it's just the fight placement is kind of baffling. So that's all we're saying. We ain't saying that we're not supporting the female MMA. We're just saying that sometimes the fight placement, you know, is to be desired.
To jump into it, I'm looking at this card, I'm speculating, you know. I'm scanning this card right now. I'm trying to think of where would be the perfect place for us to start these predictions, because I think now is about the time to get these predictions off, man. Our final predictions, man. This is it. Like, I remember last week, like, we speculated a little bit. We might have threw some names out there, but we didn't make predictions. These are the final predictions, man. Everything I say here, this is it, bro. You know what I mean? This is it. So whatever I say is how I'm feeling. We're going, you know, and I'm just trying to see, man. I don't know. The prelims, I mean, obviously Muhammad and Brady are on the prelims.
I would say start with the Bilal Muhammad, Sean Brady fight. Hey, did you see my text message I sent you?
Yeah, I saw it.
All right. Yeah, man, so let's start with Bilal Muhammad and Sean Brady, man. Let's go.
Hey, you want to go first?
Oh, man, this is a good one, man. Actually, this is actually a close fight according to the odds. You got Bilal Muhammad at +115, Sean Brady at -135. I think they're showing Sean Brady love in the odds because of his record. But I'm taking Bilal Muhammad, man. I think Bilal Muhammad's going to win this fight. He's been the more active guy. I kind of like the way he's going about his business. He's fighting everybody that the UFC put in front of him, regardless of the style. He beat Damian Maia. He beat Wonderboy Thompson. He beat Vicente Luque. Had a no contest against Leon Edwards. Hey, man, I like what Bilal Muhammad has been doing, and I'm picking Bilal Muhammad to win this fight. I think he wins this fight by unanimous decision, man. Sean Brady will get tested in this fight. Now, Muhammad, if you're listening, keep this fight on the feet. Keep the fight on the feet. That's your best chance of winning this fight. But, yeah, man, I'm taking Bilal Muhammad unanimous decision, bro. Who you got?
Yeah, I'm actually going the same way. I think I was thinking about this a little bit earlier, and I was like, man, like, I really haven't seen much on Sean Brady, so it's not like I can come out and say to y'all, like, you know, I can't come out in front and be like, oh, you know, but Sean Brady's weakness is this. So, like, if Bilal Muhammad can do this, you know what I mean? He can – no, it's like I don't have enough data. You know what I mean? I don't have enough data on Tom Brady to be able to tell you, oh, this is how he can, you know what I mean, break him. It's like, nah, I don't have. So these are basically two, you know, high-level wrestlers, to my understanding. And a lot of times, y'all know what often happens when you have these types of fights. You end up with a striking match. You have two high-level wrestlers. You end up with a striking match, and that could happen. So for you, that's just what we know. So that's just off the eye, you know, that's off what I have seen. You know, time and time again, high-level wrestler versus high-level wrestler, are they going to wrestle each other? Probably not. You know, it's going to end up being, because it's going to cancel itself out. You know what I mean? This guy knows, okay, I don't really want to go and wrestle with him. He doesn't really want to, and the other guy's like, I don't want to wrestle with him, and because they know the danger of it, you know what I mean? And so you end up with like a Usman versus Covington scenario where it's like, okay, both these guys, you know, were D1 wrestlers. Both of them are, you know, some of the best wrestlers out here, probably some of the best in the UFC, and that has been in a long time, you know, at that as well. And so, yeah, you might end up with a striking match. You could end up with what you just said. And I think in either case, I think Bilal Muhammad wins this fight. I think we're going to go off of, you know, Michael Chiesa. I don't really that's a decent win, but I'm not really, like, putting too much stock into that. I wouldn't really say – I mean, that's someone I know, but I don't really think that's – I don't know if I would say that's a notable win. You know what I mean? Like, Michael Chiesa, like, when's the last time, like, Michael Chiesa was on a win streak? Like, when's the last time he even fought? Like, I don't even remember the last time he fought. You know what I mean? And so – yeah, I don't really care too much about a win over Michael Chiesa. Maybe a couple of years ago, I would have said that was cool. Maybe 3 years ago, I would have said that was cool. But 3-4 years ago, but not now. Yeah, I think Bilal Muhammad wins this off experience. I think he's just one of those dudes that a lot of people, they don't think he's likable, and you know, there's like on social media and stuff, a lot of people hate on Bilal Muhammad. I think that kind of spills over into the community that's like predicting fights. And I think what ends up happening is people kind of see like the consensus about him, and then everyone likes to downplay his skills because he's not like, they deem him not likable. And I think that's, you know, that's a mistake, because one thing I know about Bilal Muhammad is this: he might not be, you know, the most likable. Maybe he doesn't always say the right thing. I mean, I'm not really like triggered by what he says. I'm not really bothered, but I know, you know, he might not always be the most entertaining guy. His style is not the most fun style. I mean, but it is what it is. But the thing is this, one thing I know about him is he comes in and wins fights. He knows how to come in and win fights. And that's why he's, you know, one of the best welterweights right now out there. And he's known how to win fights for a long time. Since he was unranked, I've been watching him. I'm like, who's this dude Muhammad coming in here, you know, dominating from top position? He's too dominant. Once he takes you down, he just, the fight, you know, the round's over. It's like, that's just the way it is. And, you know, he does what he's good at. So I think Bilal Muhammad wins this fight. I think he's going to show people something here. He's going to have a big performance. So we're going to be talking about him after. I'm going Bilal Muhammad, unanimous decision, in a dominant win.
All right.
All right. Next one up is, we got Bilal Muhammad, Sean Brady. Do we want to do the Chu Kagan fight? I mean, I'm okay with skipping that, but if you want, because we still have four other fights after that to do. And
I'm taking Chu Kagan in this one. So I think,
yeah,
the veteran pulls it out. I think the other lady, she only has 10 fights. I'm going to take the veteran Chu Kagan in this fight. I think she does just enough to win the fight. I don't think the Matt Manon lady, this probably going to be the brightest light she probably has seen in her career, or one of the biggest stages in her career. So, yeah, I'm taking the veteran, man. I'm taking Chu Kagan.
I'm going to go with Fierro. She's 9-1. I guess she's a -180 favorite. I don't even know who she is, but I just know Chu Kagan. I don't really think she's that good. I know she's on a win streak, but what I've seen of her, I don't really – I just think what happened with her, and this is my honest opinion, is that she's in a division where if you're, like, good, but, like, you're not really good, you'll get brought to the top of the division because the division is so weak and they just need, like, decent contenders to be able to, like, win a couple fights to be able to fight Shevchenko. And it's – you really don't have, like, incredible fighters there. You know what I mean? She's not – she's not a fighter that woes me. You know what I mean? I feel like she's good.
Yeah.
But I don't think she's really good. But you can be the you could be the number one in the division in that division because the division is so shallow and they just need someone, you know, to be able to fight Shevchenko. So it is what it is. I think Fiora will win this one. And we'll move on from that. Guys, by the way, if you do miss our predictions, these are all going to be posted up on our Twitter page at Lee and Keys Real Talk to check out our predictions. The next fight we have ranked lightweight. This is where it's about to get crazy. Number 6 lightweight, Benil Dariush. He was supposed to be the backup for the lightweight title main event, but then they changed it to Volkanovski. But either way, number 6, Benil Dariush versus number 9, Mateus Gamrot. Who do you got in this fight, bro?
Man, this fight, I'm hoping that this fight lives up to the rankings that both fighters have. Sometimes we get our hopes up for some of these fights, and they end up being snoozers. But I'm going with Gamrot, man. I think Gamrot has the most to gain in this fight. I think this is definitely a step up in competition for him. Although Benil Dariush is very, very slick inside the octagon with what he does. I just think Gamrot was in the right place at the right time to make a push to be in the title picture. I think he gets it done. I'm going to say he wins this fight. I'm going to go second round knockout. I'm going to go with Gamrot knocking out Dariush in the second round.
Man, this is another one where we're going the same way. All right, here's how we go. So, Gamrot is so well-rounded, bro. I was watching his footage, and I was like, bro, I can't believe this dude. Like, his fight with Armin Saryukin was like, I get what people were saying. One of the most entertaining lightweight fights they've seen in a while. I totally get why people said that. You know what I mean? I watched that five-round fight, 25 minutes. Those guys went to town, bro. It was like, not the boring type of grappling that you see where it's like, okay, this guy's some laying prey stuff. Like, these dudes there was transitions everywhere. You know what I mean? There was striking going on. You had grappling going on. There was wrestling going on. You had all types of shit, bro. All types of ninja shit. You know what I mean? If Tony Ferguson watched that fight, I think Tony Ferguson loved that fight. You know what I mean? I think that was like, those two dudes are like the product of Tony Ferguson. You know what I mean? Armin Saryukin and Mateus Gamrot. Like, those dudes are like, that fight had Tony Ferguson all over it. When Tony says, like, you know, I'm going to do spinning ninja shit, like, that's exactly what that was, man. Those dudes were crazy. There was kicks flying everywhere, man, body kicks. Those dudes were crazy. And so Gamrot, man, he's well-rounded, and I just think Benil Dariush only brings one thing to the table, bro, and I think that's his problem. And we've seen him be KO'd stiff before. You know, we know he's been KO'd. We know he's chinny. And also, I mean, when he was fighting Tony, I always go back to this. Tony was piecing him up on the feet, man. His striking has not gotten – Benil Dariush's striking has – he's not showing us that his striking has gotten much better. And that is definitely something that I hope he's working on. You know what I mean? Since the last time I've seen it. I hope he's worked on it more because Gamrot's bringing that. You know what I mean? Gamrot is doing spinning ninja shit. You know what I mean? And he's not a guy that you're just going to take down and just lay on top. Like, it's not going to happen, bro. He has everything, bro. He's got the takedown defense. He could definitely transition. It's like offensive grappling and defensive grappling. Like, I feel like he has both of those. You know, it's I don't know if that makes sense, but yeah, that's kind of what I felt like I was watching when I was watching this fight with Armin. And so, yeah, I don't think it's going to be that easy for Dariush to just make it his fight. You know what I'm saying? I don't think it will be at all. And, yeah, I think Gamrot will piece him up. And I think Gamrot will probably TKO him. That's what I'm thinking is going to happen. I think Dariush will fold. I even like your pick with like the flatline KO. That could definitely happen too. I'm gonna go with a TKO though. I think I'm gonna go. It's not gonna be a key special. I think it's gonna be a second round TKO. It's, you know, a distant relative of the key special, but we're going with a second round TKO from Mateus Gamrot, and then he skyrockets into the lightweight top five. Crazy. Okay, next fight on the docket. We have We have the number one bantamweight in the world and the former bantamweight world champion, Piotr Jan, fighting the number 11 ranked bantamweight, Sean O'Malley, fan favorite. Sean O'Malley is a plus 255. Piotr Jan is a minus 305 favorite. Who you got in this fight, bro?
Oh, man. Keys, I really want to pick Sean O'Malley so bad. But the last time he had a step up in competition was against Marlon Vera. And I want to say he got injured in that fight. He didn't look good in that fight. I want to go with O'Malley, man. I'm going to take Piotr Jan in this fight. I think Piotr Jan pulls it out by split decision. I think Piotr Jan being a championship medal, having to been in five round fights, I think he finds a way to get this done. Sean O'Malley hasn't shown us that he can wrestle. He has shown us that he is willing to take one to get one, but do you really want to take one to get one against a guy like Piotr Jan? I don't think so. I like that O'Malley has stepped up in competition. This is great. Dana White has came out and said that the winner of this fight will probably get will get the next shot at the bantamweight champion. I think if Sean O'Malley wins, you can't get him a shot at the belt because he has lost to Marlon Vera. And I want to say Vera is ranked high to him. So I don't think Sean O'Malley should warrant the title shot if he wins. But Dana White did come out and say the winner would get a title shot. I'm going with the veteran, man. I'm going with Piotr Jan to win this fight by split decision. Sean O'Malley put up a game fight, but I'm just going with the veteran in this one.
And you had Gamrot by second-round KO, right, in the previous one?
Yeah.
All right, cool. So, you know, you had Jan? How'd you have Jan right there? Unanimous decision?
Split decision.
All right, I'm thinking that now this is how we go, right? This is my thing with this fight. This fight is going to come down to, like, when I go into my logic and, you know, really look at, like, what I've seen recently, it's Jan all day, right? But the reason why I'm picking O'Malley to win this fight is because I feel like he's a big underdog here. I feel like and he has the skills. I don't think Piotr really has a good enough ground game to really make it that kind. O'Malley hasn't shown us anything there either. He really hasn't shown anything there. You know, I can't really say, oh, O'Malley has great wrestling. Like, neither one of these guys really. I mean, Piotr Jan, when he got taken down by Sterling in their last fight, he looked like a salmon out of water, bro. Like, he was looking bad in there, bro. And, like, I was faded. I was drunk when I was watching that fight, but I still could plain as day see it. I was like, yo, Jan is in trouble right now. This is bad. Like, you cannot be the champion of the world and look like that when you get taken down. Like, it doesn't matter if wrestling's your thing. You cannot be getting dominated like that on the ground and call yourself the world champion. It just can't be done. So I think O'Malley here, this is going to be a striking match. Jan takes he usually takes a little bit to come on, and I think the fact that this is a three-round fight, I think that favors O'Malley a lot more than it favors Jan, because usually Jan doesn't come on. Like, when I saw him fight Sandhagen, I want to say I thought Sandhagen looked better in the first round or two. I think I had Sandhagen winning rounds one and two. I thought Sandhagen looked great, but then it was 3, 4, 5. It was round 3, Sandhagen started to fade, and it was 3, 4, 5. I felt like Jan dominated. And I see that happening in a lot of his fights. I want to say that that happened in the that was where the tide shifted for him in the Aldo fight too. I feel like it. I'm pretty sure that was a round three stoppage when he fought Aldo. I think it was round three where, okay, this is like a back and forth fight, and then Jan smashed him in the third round. I feel like Jan really third round on becomes a very dangerous fighter. But I think the facts are three rounds. I think the favor is O'Malley, and I think I'm gonna go with a wild one, bro. I'm gonna go with a wild one right now. I'm going O'Malley by knockout. I think O'Malley is gonna flatline Jan, bro. I think that's how we're going. And I don't have, you know, a ton of explanation as to how he does it, but I'm just gonna go. I'm feeling like left field with this fight. I think this is gonna be one of those ones that we're gonna be jumping out of our seat at, you know. And I think it goes down. I think late in the second round. I think O'Malley knocks him out late in the second round. That's how I'm going. O'Malley second round knockout. Oh, my bad. I keep on forgetting. I'm announcing. All right. And the next one, here's how we go. I keep thinking, this whole time, I kept thinking that you were running through. Yeah, you hosted the last couple. I'm like, all right, here we go. Like, you get announced next fight, or you might have something to say about what I said. I keep forgetting. Nah. All right, so anyways, next one, we're getting into the title fights, right? Bantamweight world title. This is crazy. You have pretty much a bantamweight number one contender fight that we just talked about, and then you have the bantamweight title fight. This is almost like a little tournament right here in these with these four guys. Aljamain Sterling versus the returning he's done one fight, but this is still like TJ's return to the very top, you know what I mean, going for his title. He's a two-time, I think he's a two-time or three-time bantamweight world champion, and he's the number one in records for everything at bantamweight. He's the number one in everything. Everything that you would care to talk about, he's the number one at. And, you know, a lot of people perceive him to be the GOAT of the division. Aljamain Sterling, minus 170 favorite still. Very skilled fighter. A guy that is pretty surreal that I'm looking at him with a title over his shoulder on UFC.com right now. Because I remember watching him. I remember watching Aljamain Sterling when he was unranked. I remember watching him when nobody – I had no clue. Nobody had any clue. I remember watching him – wearing the blue trunks, like in his first couple of UFC fights. You know what I mean? I remember when he used to wear the blue trunks, like, and it's so crazy now. Like, he's wearing, like, the gold and black trunks. He's a champion or whatever he wears. I don't know. Does he wear the green? I'm not sure what he rocked his last fight, but it's just so crazy. It's surreal to, like, see him as a champ, man. These guys rise up. Anyways, Aljamain Sterling versus former bantamweight champion TJ Dillashaw. Who you got in this fight, bro?
Man, hats off to Aljamain Sterling because, you know, man, I know I gave him a whole lot of grief the way he won the belt the first time from Petr Yan, you know, with the illegal knee, and then, you know, he ended up having surgery and all this stuff, and, you know, I was just like, man, he's scared of this guy, but then he came back, and he dominated Petr Yan in that fight. I'm going with TJ, man. I like the way TJ looked in the Corey Sandhagen fight. I like TJ's fighting style. I just think this is one of those stories of a guy that was at the top, gets knocked down due to his own doing, climbs back to the top, and he has a chance to have a better second half to his career than the first half. Although the first half was pretty damn good too. But I'm going TJ Dillashaw, man. I'm going to go TJ Dillashaw. I don't think he can knock Aljamain Sterling out. I still think he can do it. But I'm going to go with the key special, man. TJ Dillashaw, third round KO, man. I'm a third round TKO for TJ Dillashaw. He catches Sterling, hurts him, rushes in, the ref stops it, and new will be TJ Dillashaw and his return to glory.
Wow. It's funny, too, because I was reading about this earlier on Twitter, and there's been a lot of activity from Aljamain Sterling this past week. You know, he was with Andrew Tate out there in Dubai. You know, a lot of the fighters were out there. And Aljamain Sterling responded to a fan saying, like, you know, a fan was like, I really like you, but, like, TJ gets you out of there in two rounds. And Aljamain Sterling responded, and he was like, you know, basically, like, you lose some, you win some. Like, loss is a part of life. He's like, if it happens, it happens. But, you know, with that being said, you know, I'm going to spark TJ out in round one. He said he's going to spark him out in round one. So, and then TJ is saying that, you know, Aljamain Sterling is you know, he's breakable, and he's going to find out how to break him. Or he's going to find his quit or something like that. And these guys are talking that talk, man. I'm real hyped. I'm real hyped. I think TJ, man, I love Aljamain Sterling, man. I think he really showed what was up, man, that last fight, man. But I think TJ's coming for it, bro. And he does have power, man. I think he can knock Sterling out, dog. And I know you picked the key special because I think you know that back in mind. TJ's got power, man, for a 135er. That thing's crazy.
Yeah.
And he definitely got power. And we know he's got technique. I think he looked great versus Sanhagen, especially, you know, 2 years or so off the couch. I thought he looked incredible for a first fight back. And people were critiquing him. I'm like, guys, that's 2 years, 2.5, you know, years off the couch. And he looks like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, you're looking at it the wrong way. Like, for him to come back and already look like that is insane. You know what I mean? So he's only going to climb further. You know what I mean? He's only going to get more comfortable. He's going to get better. And, yeah, I think TJ as well. I think TJ, I'm going similar to you. I think TJ. This one's the key special, man. I think this one's it's time for the key special, bro. TJ's coming in third round TKO, baby. I think similar to what you said. I think he stunned Sterling with a shot. You know, there's gonna be some striking exchanges. There's going to be wrestling in this fight as well, but I don't think it's going to end up that way. I think we're going to end up seeing these guys bang it out. And I think TJ, you know, Sterling might even come in. We saw how Sterling came in the first fight with Jan. You see how Sterling came out, you know, like he shot out of a cannon. And he looked like he wanted to dispatch Jan in the first minute of the fight. You know, he came out. Who knows how he comes out versus TJ, but if he does that versus TJ, that's a dangerous game to play. I mean, that's a dangerous guy to come out like that, you know, against. So, but TJ, though, I think TJ catches him in a shot, one of these exchanges. And similar to what you said, the ref's going to pull him off. It's going to be like that. Third round TKO, key special, and new bantamweight world champion. Now, I think he's the third time or fourth time bantamweight world champion. And that would pretty much cement TJ, I think, as the GOAT of the 135ers. To me, I think that does it.
I think he will have to win. I think he will definitely have to beat Dominique Cruz, and then maybe an up and coming Vera for me to get him back that crown.
All right, I got you. Well, either way, you know that's yet to be seen. We'll see how it plays out. You know, Sterling could beat him. You know, very well. Sterling's, you know, he's got the tools. You know what I mean? He's a champion. He's a champion for a reason. You know what I mean? That's a fight I respect both guys. You know, but I can't wait for the press conference tomorrow, baby. All those guys up on the stage at once. Oh, baby, it's gonna get crazy. Oh man, they better put everybody up at once, man. They better not play games like last time, like they did in September. I don't want to see no games, bro. And I hope nobody fights backstage. No fighting backstage. Just y'all going to fight in the cage. You know what I mean? Talk trash at the press conference and then fight in the cage. That's all I want to see. No street shit and, you know, guys, you know, saying gangster and all this other bogus. Just, you know what I mean? Talk trash, press conference, fight in the cage. Cause I want to see everybody on the stage. I want to see everybody. You know what I mean? I'd like to see them get Bilal and Sean Brady. I'd like to see them get all 10 of those guys if they could. At least all 8. Get Darius, Gamrat, Jan O'Malley, TJ, Sterling, Oliveira, and Islam. I'd like to see all 8 of those guys, minimum. That would be so fire to have. And if you want, put Chukagan and Fury up there, too, if you want. Do the whole main card. You know what I mean? I'd like to see as many people as they get up there as possible. If you get all 12 of them, that'd be even better. But, hey, we'll see what happens. Anyways, finally, we're here. Finally, lightweight world championship, which I believe is a title defense for Charles Oliveira. This is a title defense. This is not for the vacant lightweight world championship like the UFC is trying to tell you. Charles Oliveira is the champion. For some reason on UFC.com, it doesn't have a belt over his shoulder. I'm a little bit confused why it doesn't have a belt over his shoulder. I don't know if that maybe that was a misprint or this is a graphic design error. There's no belt. You know what I mean? I'm not sure where the belt is. But either way, this is a title defense. Oliveira defending against Islam Makhachev, number four lightweight in the world. Makhachev is actually a minus 180 favorite, where Charles Oliveira is a plus 155. They actually were booing Charles. This is in Abu Dhabi. You know, it's pretty much a home game for Islam Makhachev in a way. A lot of his people are out there. They love him. I'm sure they love him out there. They were booing Charles Oliveira earlier today at the open workouts, bro. They were booing him. And so, you know, it is what it is out there. But I got to ask you. I know this is a tough one for me, too.
Yep.
Who will walk out of there the lightweight world champion? Tell the people.
Oh, man. This is easy for me, Keys. Charles Oliveira, man. I'm taking my man. Charles Oliveira is definitely one of the hottest fighters in the game right now. His level of competition has definitely been way more stout than Islam. Islam's record is a little bit prettier than Charles Oliveira, but when you dig deeper into who Charles has fought, he's fought the who's who in this division, and definitely his last five fights have definitely been the who's who in this division. I'll take it Oliveira, man. I just don't see what Islam can do in this fight better than Charles Oliveira. Is he a better wrestler than Charles Oliveira? Is his jiu-jitsu better than Charles Oliveira's? Is his striking better than Charles Oliveira's? So, that being said, this fight is actually the easiest one for me to pick. But at the same time, it's kind of hard because of what we was talking about earlier in the show. Is Charles Oliveira going to win the battle on the scale? That's his first fight Friday. And then talking about he going to do this, and this. Well, you can't do none of that if you don't win this fight. But, my man, I'm going with Charles Oliveira to win this fight. I don't think he finished Islam, but I do think he dominates Islam in the championship rounds, the fourth and fifth round. I like Oliveira to win this fight by unanimous decision, bro.
All right. Oliveira to win by unanimous decision. And there you have it. So, the final prediction of the night. I say this with pain. I say this with pain in my chest. It hurts me. It hurts me. But it's his fault. It's his fault. He got greedy. And I think it's going to come to bite him in this fight. I'm going with Islam Makhachev to defeat Charles Oliveira off the point of Oliveira is talking about other guys. He's saying, you know, he wants to chase Volkanovski. He wants to – when I read that earlier, this is where my mind changed when I read that, because he's talking about – you know, he's thinking about the Rio card in January. He's saying he wants to defend his 155 belt against Alexander the Great Volkanovski in Rio. So you're already like ahead of it, saying like, I'm the champion in January. You're already thinking about the next opponent, and then you're thinking about the next fight after that, assuming, okay, I beat him, and then I move down to 145, and then challenge Volkanovski for that belt. So it's like you're not even just one fight ahead; you're two fights ahead, and like there's no. Like, where's the focus on the guy you're fighting in 3 days? Like, that's the part that really hurt my feelings, man. That really hurt my feelings. What I would want to hear him saying right now, bro, what I would want to hear him saying when they ask about those questions, because I know the media prompts a lot of those questions, you know. They know Volkanovski's the backup. He's the number one pound for pound. Of course they're going to go to the media or the press conference and ask, oh, how do you think the fight with you and Volkanovski would go, or who do you want to fight next? What I would want to hear him say in answer to both of those questions is, I would want him to say, all respect to Alexander Volkanovski for stepping up to the plate, you know, for being the backup. But I have no comment on the next fight. My full focus is on Islam Makhachev on Saturday night. That is what we are completely focused on. Now I'm not looking at any other fights in the future. Right now we're focused on this fight, and that's it. Because with a guy like this, you need to have in any fight, you should be fully focused on who's in front of you. So that's what we're focused on. That's what I would want to hear him say. You know what I mean? That's what he should be saying. If he said that, I would be picking him right now. But since that he's talking about the next fight and then the next fight after, you know, I think, you know, his mind is not fully there. And you don't hear Islam talking about other fights. You don't hear Islam talking about, oh, I'm going to beat him and then defend against Conor McGregor, you know, in Rio, or, oh, I'm going to beat him and then go fight with Volkanovski, or I'm going to beat him and then move up to welterweight, or beat him and, you know, fight Chandler or something. You don't hear him mention any of that. You only hear Islam talking about Oliveira. And I think that is a key point for Islam in this fight. I think what's going to happen is Oliveira is going to overlook Oliveira. And I would be happy to be, you know, if I'm wrong in this prediction, I'll be happy in defeat if I am wrong in this prediction. Because don't get me wrong, I'll still be rooting for Oliveira all day. That's my guy. But I'm predicting him to lose because of his, you know, incorrect mindset going into this fight. And I think he will overlook Makhachev's grappling. I think he will get taken down. I think he will be overconfident in the work he can do from bottom position. And I think he will get submitted probably, I'm going to say, in the second round. I think Islam dispatches him in two rounds, and he submits him. Second round submission, Islam Makhachev, new lightweight world champion of the world.
Wow. That's a shocker, but I like what you're thinking, man. You are going with what's going on outside the octagon that rather what's going on inside the octagon, because, man, some of these guys and girls, hey, you don't know what the future behold unless you win in the present. So ain't no need of predicting what you're going to do down the road. And like I put on Twitter, Charles, what happens if you lose Saturday? I can tell you what don't happen. None of what you said in that tweet, that doesn't happen. So, all right, man, all right, Islam, okay. I'm shocked by that.
Yeah, man, and it really came down to, sorry for the pause. I want to get, you know, these predictions out for the people. So at this point, you know, our full predictions are up on Twitter. If you may have heard them here, you may have not. If you didn't, they're there. Feel free to tweet us and debate the predictions or give us your predictions or whatever it is. You know, I'd love to chop it up with you. I've been more active on our Twitter for sure. So if you hit me up, I'm going to hit you back. If you hit us up, we're going to hit you back. So let us know. And, yeah, I mean, it really came down to that. It's really the mindset. It's not about necessarily their skills in the octagon or really anything or really the technicals. It's not really that. It's just I just think that Islam is the more focused guy, and I think he's really locked in on Oliveira, and I think Oliveira is partially locked in on Islam, but he's really locked in on, you know, other guys and other fights, and, you know, feels like he won the fight already, and he just seems kind of dismissive. You know, I kind of feel this dismissive energy of him and off him, and I don't really think that's a good way to go into any, you know, world championship fight in the UFC, no matter who you're fighting. I don't think you should be dismissive of any opponent. You know what I mean? Even if you know you're better than them, you should not be dismissive of them, because we all know in the UFC, anything can happen.
Anyone can lose
any fight. It does not matter who you are.
Yep.
If you're the greatest of all time, you could get knocked out. Like in a perfect example, we just saw the former number one pound for pound, Kamaru Usman. Look what happened. Kamaru Usman. And I'm not saying, right, and honestly, I am saying that look what just happened to Kamaru Usman. I didn't see the fight, and I probably should watch it back at some stage, but they said Kamaru won all five rounds. He was completely dominated and winning the fight. And then he got caught with a head kick in the fifth round, got knocked out cold, lost his title. And so that just shows anyone can lose on any day. A lot of people thought that was a mismatch. I thought that was kind of a mismatch. I want to say you thought that was kind of a mismatch. And, you know, he got caught, and that just shows the number one pound for pound. You can get kicked. You can get knocked. He was like 21-1 or 22-1. Anyone can lose, bro. It doesn't matter.
Yep.
If you're at the very top of the mountain, you could get knocked down at any point by any guy, any shot. You could go down. Your body can fold up on you. It could happen, especially as these guys get as you get older. You know, you could fold at any point, any age, any point. Your first fight, you could get folded at any point in this game, in the true fight game. True fight game, you could get absolutely obliterated. So for you to not have the right mindset is very devastating. You know, Usman was focused on 205, you know, doing face-offs with Jan Blachowicz backstage and all this, talking about all that. And then he got knocked out. You know what I mean? If you really put those two things together, you think that's – I mean, I think there's a relation between those two things. You know what I'm saying? I think there's a connection there. He was too focused on the next move. You know what I mean? He said, I already beat him before, you know, all this. And then, you know, 205, he's facing off with Blachowicz and all this. Oh, I think, you know, I could fight with those guys. Don't focus on another division, bro. You focus on the guy in front of you. And then you get to all that other shit. You know what I'm saying? So
exactly.
Anyone can lose, and then he got KO'd. So that's a perfect example why you don't do that. You don't underestimate your opponent, because look how Leon hit him with that head kick. You can get hit at any point up to the zero on the clock, you know, 25 minutes. Not even 24 minutes, because Usman was winning, they said, for 24 minutes, and in that 25th minute, he got caught. You know, so maybe he even got a little bit lax in that 25th minute, and that's why he loosened up. He said, I got this fight. And then he missed a step and got kicked. He got kicked in the head. So, and that's not this. I'm not trying to disrespect him, but it's just you got to. I think the mindset is so big for these fighters, you know. So that's where I got my prediction from, and that's all we got, man. UFC 280, massive card. I can't wait to see it. Oliveira, I'm still rooting for you, bro. But you just got to lock in more. I need to see more focus from you. I hope that at the press conference that he locks in more. And I hope his mind changes. If he starts talking about Volkanovski and McGregor at the press conference, bro, oh, my goodness. I'm going to have to double down on my pick, bro. I might even have to say first-round submission. If he mentions Volkanovski and McGregor at the press conference, I'm going to be disgusted, bro. I'm going to be disgusted, really. So that's all we got, man. Lee, you know, I'll hit him with that Lil Wayne quote the next time. You know, my voice is hoarse right now. I feel like I'm in the Sahara Desert. Yeah, I got caught in my mouth, man. I feel like I've been chirping on here. I feel like I haven't had a sip in a while. I feel like I'm in the Sahara Desert. You know what I'm saying? I'm dying over here. We'll save that low-end quote for next time, dog. And I didn't eat. And I haven't ate, too. And look at how I'm rocking on the show, dog. See how Keys has evolved, bro. See how Keys has evolved. You remember back then I couldn't even do a show if I was hungry?
Boy,
I used to skip words.
Hungry, man.
I used to forget
like
what I was talking
rap.
About. What did you say?
Hey, when you was hungry, it was a wrap.
Bro, I couldn't even think straight. I used to forget my train of thought. I would say, what was I talking about? You have to find me, figure out where we were at.
Hey, man.
Man. But look at how I evolved, bro. I haven't even ate, bro. I haven't ate since like 2 o'clock, bro, and I'm up here yapping. You know what I mean?
Hey, but the thing is, you excited, man. You excited about this card, man. It's like, if you're a UFC fan or MMA fan, you should be super excited about this card. This card gives you everything that a UFC or a mixed martial arts fan should want. You get two basically title eliminator fights. You get two title fights. You get two up-and-comers and Bilal Muhammad and Sean Brady as a prelim main event. You got some veterans up here. You got Uzdemir, Krylov up here. You got AJ Dobson up here. Man, you got I didn't even see Lena Landsberg down here. So this fight card gives you everything you want as a mixed martial arts fan. So I'm looking forward to it. send best wishes out to all the fighters, you know, that they can make weight and they can make the walk safely and healthy. So, hey, we're looking forward to Saturday, bro.
Hell yeah, we're definitely looking forward to it. And let me just check one more thing. I want to UFC 280, you know, biggest card of the year. I'm extremely excited. I'm probably running off adrenaline right now just even talking. And we're very excited, bro. Hit us up on Twitter. And one more thing I want to just kick to y'all before we go is, so my brother is, so if y'all don't know, you know, this is, many people know, this is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Month of October is, you know, breast cancer is something that has negatively impacted my family for, you know, more than a decade now. And my brother and, you know, his guys that, you know, he has a company, Wicked Good Gaming. They do a podcast, Not Another Gaming Podcast, at Wicked Good Gaming on Instagram. So him and the good guys at Wicked Good Gaming, they put together a Breast Cancer Awareness Month fundraiser benefiting a nonprofit organization that, you know, helps families struggling with, you know, the negative impact of dealing with breast cancer in their family. And so Runway for Recovery, you know, they help out families with that, and that's what they're dedicated to do. So for the all the profits during this month are being donated to the Runway for Recovery. It's a Massachusetts-based nonprofit, great company. They've helped my family a lot to this point, and with, you know, they're trying to get back to them to help get back to other people as well, like they always do. So definitely, let me try to plug the link for you. I'll plug the link on our Twitter for sure. I don't have the exact link to the fundraiser right here, but yeah, definitely follow those guys at Wicked Good Gaming on anything. And I'm gonna plug the link to the, yeah, because me saying this out loud is not even really that helpful. It's Orca 8 that they're doing. The shop for it, because they're black. The sweatshirts come out with a black and pink, and then they have a white and pink. So you have either black or white hoodies. They're very dope. Those guys designed them. So me plugging this link right now, I mean, it wouldn't be too helpful, but I'll plug it on our Twitter for sure. And I'll definitely think about supporting that, your pink warriors, you know what I mean? All of us have somebody that we care for, or maybe you haven't, but you might know of a friend that has had somebody that they care for, you know, be in the fight with breast cancer, or even maybe another type of cancer or struggling with something. So think about a donation, anything helps. And, yeah, I just wanted to put that in there real quick, and that's all I got. And I appreciate y'all, anyone who listens. Thank you all. Lee, the floor is yours, bro.
Hey, and another thing, what Key's saying is, Key didn't say it, but I say it, it's not too early to buy a Christmas gift for somebody. You know, you could get them a hoodie, you know. That's one gift you ain't got to buy. That's one gift you already have, you know. So think about that. But, you know, this is always a great show that we do when we do our UFC pay-per-view shows. We always have a bunch of fun. But everybody enjoy the fights this weekend. If you're out and about, drink responsibly. Get home safely. If you had one too many, take an Uber. Don't drive. Don't drink and drive. I'm going to be having a fight party at my house, and I'll be making sure that I keep an eye out on all my guests. Hey, as always, in closing out the show, I'd like to leave you with a word of positivity. Hey, you only get one life. Live it to the fullest. Ride that mug till the wheels fall off. Let me get the wheels repaired. Get the wheels fixed and ride a little bit more. Lee and Key signing off. As always, we end the show with a peace.